Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Give him praise and be seated. Be seated. Where's our elder this morning? Elder Nancy. I saw Brother John coming in. I pray for Brother John's mama. I pray, John, your mama's doing better. Praise God. Well, we'll take stable today, but we'll pray for greater things even. Thank you, Lord. In your bulletin, we have the responsive reading, everybody. This is where I read, and then you read with me. Amen? Amen. You read nice and loud. I want everybody to hear this. I want you to hear it, but I want the people on the green to hear it this morning. Woo. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Yeah, I love it. Though its waters roar and trouble, though the mountains shake with its swelling. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our refuge. Hallelujah and hallelujah, and give God praise. Hallelujah. We shall not fear even though the earth be removed. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Sometimes people get angry. Anybody here ever get angry? Here's the thing about anger I want you to understand before I get started. I know everybody here, and anger's not inside of you. Understand what I'm saying. This is spiritual today, not natural. Can I get an amen? I need you all with me today. If anger is not natural, if you're a compassionate person, and I know people here today are very compassionate. They love one another. They love animals. They love things. And when that kind of love is inside of you, and then you get angry, you know why you don't feel right? Because that's not who you are. You see, that's the devil getting inside of you, wanting you to be somebody you're not. That's why we can't let the anger rise up. It doesn't mean we don't get angry. How many get angry? I do, but we can't let it get, because that's the devil. And what feels so weird inside of you, what feels so wrong inside of you, is that's not who you are. You don't have that spirit of anger. And that's what I'm praying for you today, to be able to let go when that anger starts to rise up. Say, this isn't from God. This is not going to help me. This is going to tear me down. And I'm going to step on the devil and squash his head. Amen. All right, I'm going to do something. There's no quiz today. I'm glad I miss it too. Let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning that they don't see me as their friend. I pray this morning that they don't see me as their family. I pray this morning that my wife does not see me as her husband today. I pray, Lord, that they see the spiritual and not the natural. I pray that they look at me and don't know who I am today, but they hear the words I'm speaking today, because I'm speaking your word to them. I'm speaking a healing word to them, a word of faith, a word of strength, a word of hope, a word for tomorrow. So I pray, Lord, in all my heart, I pray, Lord, that they don't see me today as a husband, as a family, as a friend, somebody they knew, but they hear the word of God this morning in their hearts, and you can all talk about it later. I pray that you don't talk to one another this morning. I pray that you forget about your phone, forget about your problems, and hear the word I'm going to preach this morning, because it's for all of us to be healed, to be stronger. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hear our prayer, Lord.
Amen.
And the church says, hallelujah. Sit back, take your shoes off, and relax. Amen. How many are with me today? I really need you to be spiritual with me today. I really do, Gene. Get him off. Get him fired up. Forgiven. The word forgiven, y'all heard that. It means to pardon, to exonerate, to absolve, disregard, ignore, excuse, totally erase. The word forgiven means it's gone. Your debt is paid in full. Let me ask you something. If you guys, anybody buy a car or anybody ever have a loan, and when you paid the loan off, say, you know, I really enjoyed that car, I'm going to send them another check just for the heck of it. So God is saying your debt's paid. Your debt is paid in full. So you don't want to, hey, the groceries were real good, sweetheart. I'm going to go back to ShopRite and give them another $20 for giving me. You don't do that, right? Why? Because your debt has been paid. Do you still send them a check? Of course you don't. Just being nice. Listen to this from, this is scripture. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. How many of them?
All.
And Micah 7. So your sins are not underneath the blood of Christ. Your sins are gone. They've been forgiven. Say that with me. Forgiven. Praise God. Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
We don't fight with each other. Eh? It said right there, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood. Let me ask you this question then. Let me ask you, would anybody here this morning ask Satan for a favor? Raise your hand. You say, you know, God's a little busy, things are happening, ain't moving too well. Hey, Satan, would you do me a little favor? How many would do that? Why not? You know why. With anything. But here's the thing with this. We remember that which is gone. Say the amen, everybody. How many remember the first home you lived in? The first car you had? The places you played as a kid? The places that you walked with your friends? Nowhere else. Those things are all gone. Say that with me. Gone. They're except in one place. Right here. They're in your mind. So you're holding on to those things. Everything that you hold on to. Nowhere else but in your thoughts. How many remember your past mistakes, your sins, your pains? How many remember those that hurt you, those that are hurting you? And you get them in your thoughts. They're there in your thoughts, but they're gone. Somebody who betrayed you a long time ago is gone. Say that with me. Troubles past. You survived them. Why do we hold on to them? And others. Now here's the thing. Here's the truth. How many want the truth today? There's a thousand reasons that sound good to your mind on why we hold them close. The word determined. Anybody ever hear that word determined? It means having made a firm decision and being resolved not to change it. I'm determined to hold on to it. Now let me go backwards. I'm going to read you the meaning and you give me the word. Here's the meaning. Having or showing dogged determination not to change one's attitude or position on something, especially in spite of good arguments or reasons to do so. Anybody want to guess what that is? Stubborn. Having or showing dogged determination, I'm not going to change my mind. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care that your argument is good, because I'm going to remember what I want to remember, and that person, I hate that person, and I'm going to remember that. Stubborn. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much? Oh, I'm going, there's two parts here. See, I got to get you clean. I got to get you spiritually so clean that when I give you the second part, you're going to stand up and say, hallelujah, I need you to do that today. This is spiritual. Philippians said, listen to this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. How many?
One thing.
Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What does Paul tell you to do? Forget the things where? Why would he tell you that? Because you don't need to carry them with you. Because you want to press towards the goal. And if you're trying to get forward and you got weight behind you, you ain't moving. Amen? So he says one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. All right. A home without love. Some of you have mom and dad who couldn't raise you. Maybe anybody ever have a broken heart. Someone who hurt you when you were younger. Somebody that betrayed you. Somebody that's betraying you right now. Amen? You got a thousand reasons, though different, they're just the same. All these things you're hanging on to. Yet, Jim, you're here today. All these things that you've been hanging on to, but you're here today. You know what that means? You survived. Amen? You survived everything that's bothered you the last whatever years of your life. Because you're under God's grace. Oh, that's been. Now listen to this. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me. Hallelujah. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. Who does it? He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. Who does it? And when is he rising you up above those who come against you? Anybody who speaks against you, God is going to push him down and rise you above that. That's spiritual. You got to believe it. Can I get an amen? You got to believe it. This is no game today. I love that. He delivers us from my enemies. You also lift me above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Wow. So let's go. Was it you or God who carried you to today? I'm going to ask you. Was it you? All the things that happened in your life, was it you or God that carried you through?
God.
Are you sure? Was it God who lifted you up or is lifting you up right now? Because how many are going through things right now? You're saying, God, here I am. I'm going through. So is it you or God lifting you up? Are you sure? Or maybe you're doing it on your own. I don't know, right? Remember the old parking place story? Right, Ray? The guy's praying for a parking place and he's praying to God. And as he comes around the corner, somebody pulls out and he said, never mind, God, I got one. So I'm asking you, you got here today, is God lift you up or did you lift yourself up? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? This is spiritual. So you say, I'm telling you, you're telling me, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. I don't have to understand what you're going through. I know the book. I know this book. So you say, that happened to me. I say, yeah, but here's your response. God saved me. Say that. Say it like you mean it. I was betrayed, but what happened? I had a broken heart, but what happened? I was lied to. I was deceived, but what happened? I was poor. I had no food. I had no home, but what happened? I was sick. I didn't know what to do, but what happened? Well, hallelujah. If you're determined to remember all the junk in the past, then you got to remember that too. If you're so stubborn that you have to hang on to this hate and all those things that happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 minutes ago, then you got to remember what, church? God saved you. How many know that God's in the saving business? So if you're determined to remember one, then are you not expected to remember God? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Remembering what God has done and all he is doing is exactly the way we walk as Christians. How many are Christians in this house? Then you got to act like it. That's how you walk like that. All he is doing is exactly the way we walk as Christians. Whatever comes against us cannot stand. Whatever is coming against us now cannot stand. How do we believers know this? Here we go. How do we believers know that I'm telling you the truth? Because we have lived through trials and tribulations. And what, church? God did what? That, come on, what did God do? Well, hallelujah, give him praise. What are you sitting like losers for? You ain't lost nothing yet. You say, oh, God, help me. God said, I already helped you. God, can you bring this? He said, I'm already doing it. You're not believing him because you're in the natural, because it didn't happen at 11 o'clock this morning. God doesn't work on our time schedule. Praise God. Thank you for that. Forgiving those who have come against you releases you from carrying them around with you. Yuck. I wish Nancy and Fred were here. I wish, this is what I pray for. Every Sunday I put this together and I got people in my heart. You got to forget people that hurt you. Why would you want to carry them? They're gone, they're dead, they're past, but you're carrying them with you. Why? Anybody got a good reason? Because I'm stubborn. Listen, it doesn't make them less guilty, but it allows you to release from any part of you. Life today, you're allowed to release them. And when you release them, they're gone. Because they're already gone, except in your brain, and you're stubborn, you want to hold on to that. Why? Why do you want to remember that you stepped on a nail, that you cut yourself or something bad? Why? I don't know. It allows you to release them from any part of your life today. As God has forgiven you every trespass. How many trespasses?
Every.
He does this for you. Forgive and let go of any darkness, knowing God has carried you through victory today. Here's this really good. It gets better. I'm telling you, you got to give me a little time. It gets better. This is getting better. You're going to be better if you receive it. You're not fighting against your neighbor, your job, your family, your friends. You're not fighting against somebody coming against you. You're not. You know why? Because evil is spiritual. Amen? I had four people last week. I'm going to tell you the truth. I got to tell you. I had four people I contacted last week when the Hurricane Henry was coming. I put on Facebook to them, on Twitter, I want you to pray your authority over that storm. I want you to pray authority over the storm. They said it's going to be the worst to hit Connecticut since Gloria took our steeple off. I sat in my house with my wife when the storm came. 2 o'clock, the leaves weren't moving. 3 o'clock, no leaves. It was raining a little bit, nothing, no trees falling. I said, thank you, Jesus. That's called authority. I took and we prayed in authority. Evil is spiritual. Can I get an amen? You got to see this. You have authority over evil.
Oh,
well, I never heard that before. Well, I'm telling you, you have authority over evil. Can I get an amen? This is great. Are you ready? How many got something coming against you right now? And you got this thing coming, and you want the person, the whatever it is, the thing, whatever it is, you want. It isn't them. You're fighting evil. You're fighting Satan. You're fighting them. So it doesn't matter if the person or the thing you're looking at doesn't want to change. Hallelujah! You say, this person will never change. God says, who cares? You have authority over the devil that's living inside of them. That's what you have authority over. You have authority over evil. Even if the one who comes against you does not want to change or left, or they just want to be let in the darkness around them. We don't fight evil. We rebuke it. You're not fighting. You got to get above. This is where your anger gets in. See, because you get angry. You know why? Because you're looking at the person. You're looking at the thing. You're looking at your boss. You're looking at whatever it is you're looking at. And you're getting angry because you're down here in the natural again. You're back in the weeds again. You're back in the weeds. You forgot God has already delivered you. You're just waiting for that. You see, so you get above that and there goes your anger. It's gone. You got nobody to be angry at now. Because you're fighting Satan and the battle is not yours. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Rebuke. To reprimand, to restrain in the name of Jesus. You have been set free. Why do we insist on carrying the old into the new? Why do we ask Satan for favors or help? Why do we carry in our minds, because that's the only place that they exist, around with us? They are gone, defeated. Those who betrayed you, those who are betraying you right now are under your feet because they're in control with Satan, and you're over Satan. You have authority over Satan. Yes, you do, if you use it. You have a car out there. How many cars have air conditioning? Do you turn the air conditioning on? You use it. And when you're driving at night, what do you turn on?
Why?
You know they are. You have authority over Satan just like that. Turn on the lights. He's got to run. It's the truth. Why do we ask Satan? We do that. You go, you think expecting you're going to get a different result when you go to Satan, when you go to the boss, when you, whatever it is, and you're going to say, hey, I got, would you do something? It's Satan saying, good, I got him another one. I got another time I can show him evil. We see evil in the world. You saw evil in the world this week. You're seeing what evil looks like when you turn on the TV. That's why we need to pray over that. Praise God. I was just taken back the other day. We lost 13 servicemen, 20 years old, 21 years old. And not one person on my TV said, let's pray. Yeah. Or we're going to get revenge. I don't care about revenge. How about prayer? How about talking about God first before you want to kill somebody else? Nobody, not our president, not the other people, and nobody said, hey, let's pray to Jesus. Are you kidding me? Thank you, Lord. Whew. The deceiver comes to steal, rob you. Right, Ray? He comes to rob, steal, and destroy you. That's why Satan comes, because he hates you. So when you're in the midst of something, understand the spirit you're dealing with, Brother Teddy, he hates you. The spirit of Satan hates you, but you have authority over it. No more than you'd be afraid of a mouse. If you were on your farm in Tennessee and Kentucky and a mouse ran by, you wouldn't be afraid, would you? Of course not. You pick up snakes. He picks up, that's Satan, Teddy. That mouse is Satan. That problem you're facing, that's Satan. You step on it. You squash it. You don't care about anybody else. You don't care if they changed their mind. It doesn't matter because it's evil and you have authority over it. Praise God. Give him praise. I know my wife is praying for me because she sees me. I'm nice. Authority. The power or right to give orders. You have authority over Satan to give him orders. Why don't you use it? Anybody? Why are you letting them happen? Why are you getting angry? God is saying, I took care of that. What are you mad about? It's just a mouse. What are you afraid of a mouse for? It's a mosquito. He's under your feet. Look at the bottom of your shoes. That's where Satan is. You have authority to make decisions, to enforce obedience. Enforce obedience. Isn't that great? Not with your neighbor, not with your wife. Please, not with your wife. When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and receives blessings from God. Remember that when you look at your wife next time and good things are happening. The blessing, there she is. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Brother Isaiah wrote this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Let me read that again. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Not your pastor, not your friend, not your husband, not your brother-in-law. From the Lord. Amen. Spiritual. You won. Condemn means express complete disapproval of. You have that authority. And the heritage, this is a great word, heritage. You know what heritage means? I'll give you a one-word answer. It's beautiful. It's your birthright. Wow. Your birthright. What are you talking about? This is, you're an heir to the king. You're an heir to heaven, an heir to Jesus. You're heir, you're sons. This is your birthright. You have every right to stand with this authority because Jesus gave it to you, because you're part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Your birthright. So to believe keeps you strong. Understand that. To believe what I'm preaching to you keeps you strong. To believe gives you power and peace. God's grace is carrying you. You got to read about God's grace. Deacon Sergio, you understand God's grace. People say, I don't know what I'd do if such and such ever happened. I say, why are you doing that? Why? Because you don't know. Because you're not supposed to know. Because God hasn't given you grace to understand what those 13 families are feeling this morning. The only way that they're surviving this morning is God's grace is on them right now. They're sitting in their chairs. They're weeping. They're shaking. No words can help them. It's God's grace that are keeping them together. God's grace, you understand when you're going through something, and it could be months, sometimes how many know it's months? Sometimes you want God to act faster, but you want God's answer, and you want the answer to be perfect, you got to let him bake the cake. You don't want that cake before it's ready. So you got to have that peace, and you got to have that security, and you got to have that God inside of you, carrying you through. But it's your birthright. It's already been done. When we prayed against that hurricane, you might think I'm nuts. I don't care if you do. But we prayed that hurricane authority, hurricane be gone in the name of Jesus. And I looked out the window, my wife and I, 3 in the afternoon, and none of my leaves were moving. Not the trees, the leaves. Praise God. Put on the belt of Maryland truth. Because truth is the power. And you have the truth. But I tell you this also. We're getting ready now. You all ready? How many are ready? Pick up your sword. Brother Ray, right? What's the sword? It's the word of God. It's your power. It's what you pick up that sword and you start swinging that sword. You start swinging the word of God. You do it to yourself. You do it to anything. You rebuke them. There's a scripture in the Bible that many people read and probably didn't understand. But how many know that the Bible says you can move mountains? You can move mountains. And you all think, what is this? What do you mean that? I'm going to take Mount Washington and put it in Vermont? No. The mountains in your life. You're going to move those mountains. There's the only way. You know, the problems that you're facing right now could be the biggest mountain you ever saw, but to God, it's a molehill. To God said, I already took care of the problem. You're looking at it like it's God, and God is right there. I'm going to lift you up over that. There's nothing there. But this is mountain-moving scripture. You're going to remember and move mountains. You have authority to move the mountain. Whatever isn't coming against you right now, you have that authority. Can I get an amen? And it wasn't given to you by me. You put $300 in that offering. I don't know if God's going to bless you back 300 times. I see people saying that. Give me a double offering and I'll give you a double blessing. Brother Ray, I never saw anything in this book saying you'll get a double blessing. You do anything. You said God will bless you. That should be enough. If God is blessing me, I don't need a double God blessing. If a God has blessed me, why do I need more? But they tell people, oh, give 3 times that and you'll get a triple blessing. I go, triple blessing? Where? If God is blessing you right now, Greg, you don't need any more. It's running over. You can't contain it. But moving mountains is spiritual. This service this morning, this message this morning, it's spiritual. That's how important it is for you to have victory in a place you never thought you had. This is spiritual victory. You want to move mountains and you just tell God, I need to move that mountain. And God said, I gave you the authority. It's your birthright. And remember this, church. I don't know how many times I told you, but please remember and write this down. Satan always goes first. Brother Ray, think about it. Everything in the Bible, who goes first? Satan. Satan attacked Job. Satan attacks this. Satan does this with the... And Satan always goes first, you see? And then who comes from behind? God. And he squishes and stomps on him and ends everything that Satan does. So when you saw everything that's happening, you say, yep. Satan went first again, but my God's got victory, and I got victory in the Lord. So here we go. My last page. I survived. Thank you, Lord. Take your sword. Use the power you have been given. Lift up your sword this morning and say, Satan, get away from my family. Lift up your sword and say, Satan, get away from my health. Get away from my... You're healed in the name of Jesus this morning. He said it, not me, Gary. He said, you're healed this morning. So take your sword and claim your healing. You say, Satan, get away from my finances this morning. You take that. That's called authority. You look at Satan, get away from my finances. I don't have enough money. Yeah? God said, raise it up and tell God, tell Satan, get away from my home. Satan, lift up that sword and you say, what is that? That's your authority. That's what he sees, the word of God, and you're using the authority in the name of Jesus. Give him praise this morning, somebody. Praise God. Amen. He's given you all you need. giving you all you need, Lily. He's giving it to you. You don't have to pay for it. I always think it's interesting when I see some churches that, you know, they're taking people in, which is a beautiful thing to do. But then that's the same church that when you go to that church, they want to know how much you make a week and how much you're going to tithe a week before you can join that church. I said, wait a minute, what do you, those people can come, but I, you know, people telling you you're going to get triple blessings. You don't need triple blessings. When you see that on TV, ask yourself, call them up and say, why do I need a triple blessing? Because God is blessing me. Isn't his blessing enough? If I truly believe that I have that authority, why am I worried about these people coming against me? Why am I worrying about these situations? Because the devil wants you to worry. He wants you to agonize. He wants you to get angry. Every little thing he can do to get you before the victory is just to tear you down. So you look up and you raise that sword up and say, get away from my family. Get away in the name of Jesus. Get away. Get away from my finances. Get away from my loved ones. Get away from my everything. Whatever you're needing, get away from Satan. Get away. I command you in the name of Jesus. I have the authority. It is my birthright. Jesus, I am the family of Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why am I afraid? Your life's not going to be happy, happy, joy, joy every day. You're going to have trials and tribulations. I just told you before, all the trials and tribulations that you had that are behind you, who saved you, church? So you think he's done? You think he forgot about you? Of course he didn't. He just wants you to have that strength. He's showing you all these things that he's saved you from. I know Deacon Chuck and I talk about it all the time. The things that we did, that God was with us. We had no idea how we survived what we did because in the natural sense, we should have been crazy hurt. But because of God. So we give him praise and we give him glory. You were sick one time and you got better. Thank you, God. You were poor and you got better. Thank you, God. You were homeless and have a home. Thank you, God. Everything that's come against you to this day, God has saved you. He brought you here today to be saved, to be have power, to take that authority. I dare you. I dare you. And here's the last thing I'll say, and I'm sorry, but this message to me was one of the most important ones I wanted to give, and I thank God for this day. I think you'll see it. You'll see little things start to happen. You will. That's how God works. You'll see something, and you'll say, oh, look at that. That's God. And then something little, it'll be a little thing will happen, and something else will change in your life, and something, and you'll say, oh, I see it. And that little just makes you stand up straighter and gives you more faith to see that. You came here today to hear this message. Maybe this message was something else that you needed to stand up straight and to be lifted up a little higher this morning. Maybe you were worried about your health or worried about something. So maybe this message from God to you today. That's why I said, don't look at me as your family, your friends, or your husband or anybody. Listen to the word of God today. No weapon formed against you can prosper. No, no weapon. Whatever's coming against you, it can't prosper. You have authority over Satan. Pick up your sword and use the sword and trust God, and you will see it. You will see it happening. And when you see it happening, just like the hurricane last week, you'll be absolutely astonished because that's your God. Give him praise. I know you're quiet and respect the church, but I want this church to be full of joy. You know why Satan doesn't understand joy? I want this church full of love. You know why Satan doesn't understand love? I want this church to be full of unity because Satan doesn't understand unity. That's why I want you to have joy. I want you to have peace and strength. Came to this earth. He was born on this earth. He walked on this earth and he gave his life to clear our sins. For us, he took the blame. He did it once for all. Anyone who will believe in his name shall be what? Saved. When you believe in the name of Jesus, you become part of the family of God. It becomes your birthright. What he did for us. Don't let this little piece of bread scare you. Don't let it think anything but this. When he picked up the bread, he blessed and broke the bread. And he told them, this is my body being torn for you. They didn't understand. You do. But they didn't understand that he was going to take a beating for them. Every lash was for our sins. And he said, eat and do this in remembrance of me. Raymond. Would you pray with me for removing our iniquities before we receive the sacrament?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, I come before you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and I ask you to remove all of the fleshly, worldly things in my heart, in my mind, and that you forgive me for all of my transgressions before I take this communion with your Son. Lord, I ask now that you remove any spirit of iniquity within me or within this congregation, Lord, that you purify our hearts and make them ready to receive the Holy Sacrament. Amen.
Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus told us, in Jesus' name. Brother John with me today, because he was on my heart during this entire sermon I wrote to have this authority. I pray, and this is what I pray, when you see Nancy and Fred, that you tell Fred what we talked about. Don't be stubborn. God got you to this place. Don't remember people that hurt you 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and you're still carrying them around with you. They're dead. Except in your head. We need to pray. You see, when your pastor puts a sermon together, I'm looking at everybody. When Jim is here, my heart's happy. By the way, thank you, Andre. He's not here today. He's going to the fair. He filled in for Greg for 3 weeks, and he was a blessing to the church and a blessing to my wife and I. And we still, even though he's not here, we want to thank him. He's going to the fair to get a turkey leg. Also need to pray for Andre because he's going to Canada. He's going to see some family. He's leaving next week. He needs traveling mercies, amen, to get in and get back home. So we all pray for him. So when he comes back, I want you all to say, Andre, we missed you, and we prayed for you. He might not, you know, he might just say, oh, that's cool. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for this nation. We are one nation under God. When you read about the forefathers, they weren't, how many know they weren't all Christian? But they all, Daniel Webster and Jefferson and them, they all knew the Bible. They all knew that we had to live by a moral code, that we had to base the country on a moral standing, and that's why they used the Bible. That's why the Ten Commandments, that's why we talk about Christianity. All men are created equal. We might have failed, men might have failed, but God never failed. And because we're standing on that, we have freedoms that no place other in the world has what we have here. What Ray fought for, what Deacon Bill fought for, the freedom to say what we want and do what we want, as dumb as it might sound. Paul said, you have the freedom. Paul said, you have the freedom to say whatever you want to say. But what you say, it does it edify? Because if it doesn't, don't say it. And you have the right to do things. But if it doesn't lift up, then don't use that right to hurt people. We have freedoms given to us by God. That's what made this country stable. That's the foundation, the Bible, what we stand on. That's what separates us from the rest of the world. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, amen, because it's on the news. But we need to pray for our men on the southern border who are trying to keep us safe. Keep us safe. Safe. Argue with me what you want, whether they should be here or not, but drugs are coming in. If you don't believe that, I can't. So we need to pray because people are dying of drugs. People are dying of drug overdose. They're dying of things that we could stop if we just, praise God. I'm getting political and I'm sorry, but we need to pray for those men and women, for their strength, so that they can keep us safe. Amen? Safe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day and these people here today, Lord. I am humbled. I am humbled beyond. I just pray that my wife didn't see her husband today, that she heard some. No, I'm serious. that it's so hard. And Jesus was around his family and friends. Remember, Raymond, when he went home, he could do no miracles. Why? Because they knew him. He was the carpenter's son. He was a joke. Oh, as I've seen him growing up, I've seen him do dumb things. This church is everything to me. You're everything to me. My wife is the greatest gift God has ever blessed me with. My prosperity, my home, it's all because of her. All the blessings I have, she's taking care of every one of my needs. You should have seen the other night, I had this bad leg cramp. She was at my side in 3 seconds. It's just the way it's going to be for you, Teddy, with that young lady. She's going to be there for you. You might have a disagreement. She's a woman, of course, but it's going to be so beautiful when you really have it that way. When you say I do and you do it under God, this wall comes around. Doesn't make us perfect. We all make mistakes, but there'll be a bonding to you that'll be greater than you. See, because God can't bless you the way he wants to bless you now. That he's blessing you. He brought you together. You obviously belong together. Look at that picture. You belong. So God has brought you together, but he's got all these blessings, and he said, I can't bless you until you say I do under me. So he said, but I got you. He said, and you're blessed, and I'm going to take care of you. But when you open that door, when we do that service, blessings will be able to flow, because that's how God works. He can't work any other way. And all the things you're praying for, use your authority. It's yours. It's yours. It belongs to you because truth said so. God said so. Hallelujah. Whew.